Praise the Lord and welcome to the day the devil lives. Let's pray. Lord, right now, I welcome the Holy Spirit. I apply the blood of Jesus upon my listeners and myself. And I ask that you'll give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to receive what the Spirit of the Lord is telling us. Feed us from your lips and teach us your ways in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord, and let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1 and verse 1. I'm going to let the word speak for itself right now. Amen. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles. Let's talk about it. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? The Word is Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Who is that? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. So, Jesus was with God. And who is God? Because there are a Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He was with God in the beginning. He is the Word of God. So, the Bible is the Word of God. Correct? Now, if you don't believe in the Bible, if you don't believe in the Word of God, you don't believe in Jesus. Now you got to believe in the Word of God from cover to cover. This is the Word of God. Yes, it was written by the hands of man, but it was inspired by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Because that's one of the greatest ways that the devil has out here, telling people that this is just another book. Well, you know what? The natural man, it's difficult for them to read this book because they don't have the Holy Spirit. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, your eyes are open for you to read the Word of God. Other than that, it's just another book to you. But here it is. The Word's testifying for itself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and that's Jesus. And Jesus came to this world to bring us the Word and the truth. Amen? And not only that, He came to destroy the powers of darkness. Now, who is the powers of darkness? Who is this Lucifer? Who is this Satan? What about him? Well, we know that all things were created through Jesus and for him. So obviously, there was a purpose for Lucifer. There's a purpose for the powers of darkness. Come on, you know why there's certain things that come on you. Worry, force of worry comes on you. Fear, confusion, things to that degree. Sicknesses, come on, they come from somewhere. God's not of sickness or disease. God is of love. He's not of confusion, but He's of sound mind. So let's find out who He is. First of all, we know that all things were created through Jesus. Now let's go to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:1. Remember, the Word will testify for itself. Praise the Lord. Genesis 1:1. And the Word says, and who's the Word? Jesus. Praise the Lord. So you're hearing the voice of God right here. In the beginning, God created the heaven. So God created heavens first and the earth second. He created all the heavenly hosts first, all of heaven first, and then He created earth and all of its surroundings. Praise the Lord. Heaven was created first, then the earth, and all things were created through Jesus and for Jesus. Now, who is this Lucifer? Let's go to Ezekiel. Praise God, you're going to learn something today, and it's going to hold with you. You're going to understand why people are being deceived and going to hell, why they're being blinded and lied to. Because God says, my people, the world is perishing for lack of knowledge. Not lack of knowledge of the things of the world, but lack of knowledge of Him. If you're driving down the road and the speed limit is 30 miles an hour and a police officer pulls you over and he says to you, do you know that you were speeding? Well, you could say, I mean, if you didn't know you were speeding, you didn't know the speed limit there, you could have said, no, I didn't know. Well, he's going to tell you, look, you broke the law and the speed limit is 30 miles an hour and you were going 50. Well, you know what? You're going to get a ticket, whether you knew it or not. You broke the law. Because of your unknowledgeable, because of your ignorance of not knowing the truth about the speed limit on that street didn't save you from getting a ticket. Well, I'm going to tell you something right now. That's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us how to eat. People are dying left and right because the lies of the devil are feeding the people bad food. People are dying. Diseases are brought upon them because of the bad eating habit. Well, it's time you learn who was doing these things and how these things are happening. All right? Praise the Lord. Let's go to Ezekiel 28. We'll start at 12. And it says, Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre. Now, the king of Tyre is a representation of Satan. And say to him, thus says the Lord, you were the seal of perfection. Who was the seal of perfection? Full of wisdom and perfect and beauty. Let me tell you, Lucifer was the second in command to God. He was wisdom. He was in the presence of God. He was beautiful. In verse 13, it says, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. He was covered with beauty and stones, the sardius, topaz and diamond and braille, onyx and jasper, sapphire and turquoise and emerald with gold. He said, Lucifer, you are the workmanship of your timbrels and pipes. Why? Because he was the praise and worship leader. God breathed through Lucifer music. You ever think about music? Well, there's a trinity of music, rhythm, harmony, and melody. It's the same thing as the trinity of God. God loves music. Because spirit means breath, so God was breathing through Lucifer music. Why do you think there are people being swayed left and right in this world because of the lies of music? So God breathed through Lucifer was the praise leader. He said that he was the workmanship of the timbrels and pipes. Lucifer was prepared. These things were prepared for him on that day that he was created. He said that you are an anointed cherub who covers. Anointed cherub, that means he was an archangel. He was powerful. He covered the heavenlies with praise and worship. God used Lucifer to lead the heavenly citizens in praise and worship. God says, I established you. You are on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. Ooh. Or till sin was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings that they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities and by the iniquity of your trading. Therefore I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you. And I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. Now this is God talking about Lucifer. These are things he's talking about what's going to happen to him. But God did cast Lucifer to the earth. Now, Lucifer means morning star. And there's another translation, which is Luxifer, which means light carrier. So he was a carrier of light. He was a chosen leader of the heavenly citizens to open praise and worship to the Most High God. Like I said, he was in second command of God himself. Now, let's turn to Isaiah. So just turn back a couple of books. Remember, this is the Word of God. And who is the Word of God? Jesus, this is the voice of God. This is not just another book. And that's a lie from the devil when he begins to tell you that this is just another book. This is the voice of God. Remember, Jesus said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And unless you read the word and know, how are you going to know? I mean, you had to go through school and study other things. To be a plumber, you had to know about plumbing. All of these worldly things. To be a computer technician, you had to learn about computers. But being a computer technician doesn't get you into heaven. Being a plumber doesn't get you into heaven. Being good doesn't get you into heaven. Only Jesus Christ gets you into heaven. And he says, if you know me, then I know you. And there are many people out there that just know about Jesus. They've heard of him. They know about him. But they don't know him. It's like you knowing the name of a professional baseball or football or basketball player. You know his name, you know of him, but you don't know him. And that's the way it is with God. You got to know him. Amen? Okay, let's go back. Now we're in Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Isn't that wild? I. Now look at how many I's. I will ascend. I will exalt. I will also sit on the mount of congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. Sounds like the Trinity of Lucifer. Me, myself, and I. Does that sound like some of us sometimes? Me, myself, and I? Okay, let's go down to verse 15. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest part, depths of the pit. God telling them. Those who see will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, all of them sleep in glory, every one in his own house, but you are cast out of your grave, like an abominable branch, like the garment of those who are slain, thrust through with a sword, who go down to the stones of the pit, like a corpse trodden underfoot. You will not be joined with them in burial, because you have destroyed your land and slain your people. The brood of evildoers shall never be named. Prepare slaughter for his children because of the iniquity of their fathers, lest they rise up and possess the land and fill the face of the world with cities. Now, look at this here, he says in verse 21, prepare the slaughter of his children. Those who are following Lucifer, those who are following the ways of Lucifer, those are the children of this earth who are following the ways of the Lucifer, will be slaughtered because they're following him right into hell. I mean, is this powerful? Now, Satan, which means adversary, the devil, those are some names which mean slander, and some other names of the devil are called the accuser of the brethren, which is in Revelations 12:10, the prince of power of air in Ephesians 2:2. He's called the god of this age in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's called the tempter, the deceiver, the son of perdition, the father of lies, the wicked one, the ruler of this earth. He is self, selfish, me, myself, and I. Now, do you understand a little bit about who he is? Remember, he was second in command of God. He's powerful. He's been around for a long time. The heavens were created before the earth. So Lucifer was here before man was created. God said, you're out of here because sin cannot dwell in his presence. He said, you're out of here. Now let's go to Revelations 12. Show you a little bit of what happened. Hey, Scott, are you getting something? You're understanding who he is. You're not fooling with some dummy. You're fooling with a supernatural being. He's an angel. He's an archangel. And he's been around a lot longer than me and you. He's been around for, you know, a long time. And he was here before me and you, but he knows how to get to you. He knows the ways. Now let's go to Revelation 12, verse 1. Now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain to give birth. Who is this child? Jesus. And another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great fiery red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 diamonds on his heads. His tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. What does that mean? The stars of heaven represented the angels. Lucifer, his tail, grabbed a third of the angels and threw them down to the earth because that's who they are. They serve him now. Then it says, and the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. She bore a male child who was to rule the nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and his throne. And that's where Jesus is right now. He's in his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness where she has a place prepared by God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Now, we are the body of Christ. We are known as the bride. So we are the woman. We are the bride of Christ. And we are here. And Jesus is known as the bridegroom. And he is in heaven right now, sitting next to the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and me. Verse 7. And war broke out in heaven. Michael, who's Michael? He's the archangel. And his angels fought with the dragon. Who's the dragon? Satan. And the dragon and his angels fought. Well, those are demons. Those are called evil spirits now. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So there was no more place found in heaven for Lucifer any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast with him. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength into the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to death. Now that's what's going to happen. Praise the Lord. So know that Satan has been cast down here first. There was a fight in heaven. Satan was cast out. He lost his office. He lost his office. In Luke 10, 17 through 20, Jesus is talking about, well, let's go to him. Luke 10, 17 through 20. So Lucifer lost his office. God said, you sinned. You're out of here. You can't be in my presence. But understand this, that Lucifer still has to come in check with the Lord. So before we go to Luke 10, hold your finger in Luke 10, all right? Go ahead, hold your finger in Luke 10. Remember, this is the Word of God. And go back to Job, the book before Psalms. Go back to Job chapter 1, and let's see, verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6, and keep your finger in Luke 10. And it says, now there was a day when the sons of God, who were the sons of God? Those were the angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. Because they always had to come and present them before the Lord when the Lord called them to present themselves. And Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth. So where is he going? To and fro on the earth, right? So that means that Satan has to check in with the Lord. Whenever God calls him, he's got to check in there. But he lost his office there. So Satan was cast to the earth. Now let's go to Luke 10, verse 17. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. And he says, and then the 70 returned. These are the disciples with joy because Jesus just sent them out to minister. And they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Who are the demons? Those are the fallen angels. Those are the angels that followed Satan. Those are called demons, demonic spirits. All right? And Jesus said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. See, Jesus saw this before. Jesus saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven to the earth. But we didn't see it because we weren't there then. But Jesus was. And Jesus said, behold, I give you authority to trample on the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by shall any means hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Is that powerful? So God has given us authority. Well, you don't get the authority without receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. Without knowing Him. Without knowing the Word. Amen? Okay, so Satan was here already. He lost his office. Now, let's go to Genesis 1:27. First book, first chapter, verse 27. Hallelujah. Now, we know that Satan was here already. We know that the heavens were created first. And we know that Lucifer, Satan, hates the things of God. His purpose is to kill you. He's the accuser. Like I share with you, his purpose, he doesn't want you to know Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to know who you are. You're royalty. You're somebody. He doesn't want you to know who you are. And how does he prevent you from knowing? I'm going to show you. But first, let's go to Genesis 1:27. So God created man. Who did he create? He created Adam in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. They had no sin. No sin. Okay? None. And God blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over all fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves on earth. Do you see that? What that says? So God gave Adam office in ruler over all the earth. He took Lucifer's place. Because remember, Lucifer was in charge of praise and worship. He was ruler. God allowed him to rule the earth. He allowed Lucifer to bring all these heavenly hosts and their praise and worship, not only in heaven, but also on earth. But because of his sin, he lost his office. God cast him out. So now let's go to 2nd chapter of Genesis in verse 19. And it says, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam." Well, and this is powerful. So God created everything, and he brings it to Adam. Why? Because Adam was the ruler of the earth now. And he said to Adam, what do you want to call him? So he even gave Adam authority to name the animals of the earth. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. Is that powerful? So we see here that Adam replaced Satan, or Lucifer, as the ruler of this earth. Now let's go back to verse 16. Verse 16, because this is where things happen. Okay, let's go back to verse 15. "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God," in verse 16, "the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat it, you shall surely die." You shall surely die, right? All right, that's what he told Adam. Now, God commanded Adam not to eat. What he was telling him, be obedient. Be obedient to me. Lucifer wasn't. God gave Lucifer everything. He made him second in command. But because of his disobedience, which sin began in the heavenlies because of Satan's disobedience, he was telling Adam, don't eat of the good tree of good and of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, how many are you out there still eating of the tree of good and evil and not eating of the tree of life? Tree of life is Christ Jesus. The tree of good and evil is the world. And if you eat of the tree of good and evil, you will die. Okay, now let's go to Genesis 3 in the first verse. Remember, this is the word of God. This is the voice of God. And it says, "Now the serpent," who's the serpent? The devil. Remember, he's here on the earth. He was here before Adam was created. "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made." Why is he more cunning? Because he's a genius. He knew everything. He was right there with God. So he was more cunning than anything, than any beast. And so here, Eve is talking to the serpent. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" What he was doing was questioning Eve of what she had heard, what she was supposed to obey. Is that what the devil is doing to you? Is he questioning you? Is he giving you doubt that the word of God isn't truth? Is he trying to tell you that your beliefs are the only beliefs? Well, let me tell you, your beliefs will lead you to hell. There are many beliefs out in the world, but there's only one truth, and it's the truth that makes you free, not your belief. Remember that. There's only one belief. There's only one truth, and it's by the Lord. So, here he is. Here the devil is questioning Eve, saying, "Is it really true that this is what God told you?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, we shall not eat of it or touch it, for we shall surely die. For we shall surely die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Is that what the devil's been telling this world and those, that you won't die, that your belief is going to get you in heaven? It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie of the devil. Is he telling us all these other things that are leading us away from the truth? In verse 5, "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Why did their eyes open? Because they had sinned. They disobeyed God. Took them out of the presence of God. And the first thing that they realized, that their eyes were open to their nakedness. Their bodies had changed. They had changed. And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. Because they used to walk with God in the cool of the day. Well, they heard him. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now, all of a sudden he's walking with God, and all of a sudden he disobeys God, He eats of the fruit of the tree of good and evil, which he imparts evil in him because he ate of the tree. And now all of a sudden he fears the presence of God. Well, prior to that, he didn't have fear. Prior to that, his eyes weren't on his own nakedness. They were on the Lord. But what did he do? He took heed of the voice of the devil. See, the devil couldn't touch him, couldn't harm him, couldn't do anything. But the devil could speak to him. And because he spoke to the woman, she listened. And she took heed of his voice. And this is where the fall began. Now, in verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" Like the Lord didn't know where he was. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself." Well, I told him that. And this is what the Lord says. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked?" Who told you? See, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, "The woman you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree, and I ate." Well, isn't that what's happening today? Now, all of a sudden, people blame their own faults and aren't willing to take their own responsibilities, the things that they're doing, the things that they're eating, the things that they're speaking, the things that they're doing, causing others to stumble. They're not taking their own responsibilities or blaming it on someone else. Well, take your responsibilities today, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And here he's saying, look at it. It's the woman you gave me that, she told me to eat of this. And the Lord said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So here they are. Everybody's passing their blame on to everybody else when that's all she had to do was be obedient to God. And the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat the dust all the days of your life." Now, I want you to look at something. If you look back here, Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they found their body changed because of sin. Their body changed. They found themselves naked. All of a sudden, there was fear. There was conscience in them. And here, because the Lord, because of Satan, and the Lord said to him, "Now you're accursed," he said, "You'll go on your belly." Well, obviously, he wasn't on his belly before. He was upright. Remember, he was an angel. He was beautiful. Now, all of a sudden, God changed his body. His body he changed. Isn't that wild? Now, all of a sudden, he says, "Lucifer, Satan, you will now crawl on the earth and eat the dust all of your days. All of your days." And in verse 15, he says, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman," card, anger, hatred, "and between your seed and her seed." Well, those are the seeds of believers and the seeds of unbelievers. And he says, "And he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Now, I want you to go back a little bit here. He said, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed." Well, we are born in this world. We are born in this world through the seed of Satan now. We come because here Adam loses his office. And the ruler of the world, the office has been given back to Satan. Is this powerful? I want you to see this. So Adam became a part of Satan's gang because of his disobedience. He did the exact same thing that Lucifer did in heaven. But he had, because Lucifer was given a free will, as same as Adam was given a free will, which is called choice, they chose to disobey God. So Adam did exactly what Satan did. He rebelled, he disobeyed because of his self-desires. But he had a free will to choose. And instead of Adam and Eve becoming the parents of the world and God birthing his children through Adam and Eve, now Satan has control of the parents of the world here, Adam and Eve. So now he's got control. Once he got the parents of the world, he got their offsprings. And you and I are offspring. So here's Satan and Adam and Eve's body changed because of sin. And from that point on, Satan was given the office and ruler of this world. And all the children are born in this world are born in sin. and are born into the gang of Satan. The only way out is through Christ Jesus. Now let's go on. Verse 16. And he said to the woman, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In birth you shall bring forth a child. In pain you shall bring forth a child. The desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. And to Adam he said, because you have heeded to the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of. Curses the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. Now, isn't that wild? Now, let's go to Romans 5:19. Do you understand that those that are born into this world, that are brought into this world, are brought in, they are seeds of the father of lies of this world. So you and I are born in sin. Everybody is born in sin. But Jesus came to set us free. Romans 5:19. I just want to show you this, because this is the voice of God. And we're going to read the voice of God. When I say 5:19, praise the Lord. Okay, are we there? Great. Romans 5:19, it says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So Adam's disobedience, we are all made sinners. But by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And that's by Jesus' obedience. So one man's disobedience, all of us became sinners. Or we are all under the satanic control and have the spirit of disobedience. Man's spirit came self, just like Lucifer, just like Adam. Self-assertion, self-exalting, self-glorifying, self-satisfying. We want to look, we want to think, we want to act, we want to move, we want to be, we want to show, and we want to have, just like Satan. We now have a fallen nature. We have a fallen nature called flesh. Even the animal kingdom, the air, the earth, and all of it is part of fallen nature. Yes, a fallen nature cursed by God. God said, disobedience, you shall surely die. And that's what happened. Now Satan's hand is in everyone, from sickness to fear of death. Satan actually rules mankind unnoticed. Now let's turn to 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Are you understanding what's happened? Satan has blinded this world. He's here unnoticed. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, and it says, but if our gospel is veiled, if the gospel of Jesus Christ is veiled, if it's covered, if it's blinded, it is veiled to those who are perishing. So if you know people that can't understand the Bible, that are not receiving the Bible, it's veiled to them, that are not getting it, because they're perishing. And it says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded. The mind. The people that are unbelievers that do not know. Remember, Jesus said, they're all mine. He paid the price for everybody here. But they're blinded because of the ruler of this age. It says, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Should shine on them. They're blinded. The world is blinded. That's why we must continue to get the gospel out. That's why, Paul said, Lord, how do I persuade men? We must persuade men. We must share with them the truth. God has given you experiences. Now, I want to turn to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, please. Glory to the Lamb. Glory, glory, glory. Isn't this powerful? You're learning something. You get an understanding about how Adam lost his office, and you and I had to pay the price too, and everybody. We're all born in sin. But Jesus made a way. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You understand it? He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now let's go to 1 John. 1 John, hallelujah. Keep going a couple books back. 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19. So we know that Satan walks around. He's been cast down to the earth, him and his angels. And that he's walking around like a roaring lion to devour. And in 1 John 5:19 it says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one." The sway of the wicked one. Now I'll turn back a page and go to 3:8. 1 John 3:8. Glory to the Lamb. And it says, "He who sins is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil," or the works of your flesh. Or the works of your flesh. And I'm going to show you. Let's go to Matthew 4. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb. Matthew 4. Chapter 4, let's go to the first verse. Remember, this is the Word of God. This is truth. Now, this is after Jesus was baptized in water. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights afterward, he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, this is Satan talking to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread." Now remember, Jesus fasted 40 days. Now what's Satan attacking him in? His flesh, because he knew Jesus was hungry. But Jesus answered and said to him, now Jesus spoke it, because spirit means breath. And when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and the Holy Spirit is in you, what you speak is the breath of God. But Jesus tells him right here, and this is for all mankind to know. He says to him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." So man cannot live by the natural ways only, but they must live by this Bible, by this Word of God. This is the Word of God. Jesus said that my words are life, and they will sustain you and bring health to your body. Amen. So he tells the devil, "It is written." Now, then the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God," he tries it again, "throw yourself down, for it is written." See, now even the devil knows the Bible. And he'll take the word and try and deceive you. You know what I'm talking about, right? He said, the word says, "He shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone." And Jesus said to him, "It is written, again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." And then the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Now here the devil takes Jesus up. He transforms Jesus. He transports Jesus, to a high mountain. Now he's trying to show him all the wonderful things that he can offer him. And he says, "All of these things are yours. Just fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came to minister to Jesus. Now here the devil tempted Jesus. He tempted him in his flesh. He tempted him by riches. He tempted him by food. He tempted him by the Word of God, trying to say that the Word of God was a lie, trying to say, "Okay, let's see if you know this." But he was trying to cause Jesus into tempting God. Now the tempter tempts him in every way of his flesh. The devil is real and he is powerful. Satan is the greatest fallen angel. He is a serpent, he is a snake. And he is out to deceive you and destroy you. But remember, Jesus spoke the Word of God. Because he said, "My words are life, they are light." He spoke the Word of God coming against Satan. He spoke Satan, he spoke right to him. And you and I need to speak right to him and speak the Word of God. Look, I want you to look at this. If you ignore Jesus as a personal Savior, you have no salvation. If you ignore Satan as your personal enemy, you have no victory. You can't fight what you can't see. You know, when I had my encounter with the Lord, I was in His glory. I was blinded by His glory. And when His glory lifted from me, and my 80-pound Doberman dog was with me, and she was barking and barking and going bonkers. The first thing I saw was this serpent laying next to me, vicious and evil, making these hissing noises, going after my dog. I looked at these beaming, glowing lights, and I'm like, "What do I do?" The next thing I know, I'm standing on this thing that I was laying on. My arm goes towards the serpent and says, and these words come out of my mouth. From the love of God, I put a curse on you, Satan. And the serpent backed off. Now, I didn't know the word of God. I didn't know about Satan. But because God was in me now, because His Holy Spirit was in me, and I was in the presence of God Almighty, and He changed me instantly, He revealed to me the ruler of this world. That thing was manifested right there. My dog was fighting it. But I'm telling you, Jesus was sent to bring the truth and to reveal the darkness. And God has sent us power, the anointed Christ, in His Word. Remember, God gave us weapons. His Word, His blood, the name of Jesus, and a testimony. He gave us the Holy Spirit that we can fellowship with. But right now, I want you to begin to focus on who Satan is and how he tempts us. Remember, how did he tempt Adam and Eve? Through a voice. How did he tempt Jesus? Through a voice. Suggestion. A voice. Where through? And because of the fallen nature, he tempts us through flesh. Now I'm going to show you. Because that's evil. Now you may ask yourself, is Satan omnipresent or is he everywhere at once? Well, only the Lord is omnipresent and everywhere at once. But we must not forget that Satan uses many devices to entice our flesh, to entice mankind. He shows himself, even a born-again Christian can be tempted in great ways because of his flesh. TV and radio and billboards and music, books, videos, etc. Satan is cloning people through these devices. He's cloning his own children by temptation and the power of suggestion. Remember, Satan took a third of the angels, which are now demons. And we don't know how many there are. There could be a gazillion of them, but we don't know. And they work for Satan. Now, in Matthew 26:41, Jesus says, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. Because the spirit, your spirit, indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Satan lives and his spirit moves freely in and out of our old nature, known as the flesh, which competes with our surrender to the Spirit of God. That spirit of the old nature is known as self. Look, we came into this world born of sin, offsprings of a fallen nature, children of sin, and sin is Satan. Our flesh is sin and always will be sin. It's just like I'm white. And let's just say I married somebody that was black. Now, it doesn't matter. God doesn't look at skin and neither do I. You're all my brothers and sisters. So I want to shut every door that the devil try and tempt. But what I want to show you something. If I married a black woman, our children would either be white or black or be light complexioned. But it wouldn't change the fact that the characteristics of my white heritage and my wife's black heritage would be in this child. It's just like sin. Adam has fallen because of the ploys of the devil. It's sin. That nature is not going to change from generation to generation to generation until it dies. So because we are sinners, Satan has something in us, in our flesh. Well, let's turn to John 14. Praise God. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 14. And, you know, reread this scriptures, replay this tape, use it. This is powerful. God is revealing something to you, how Satan has been trying to deceive us. John 14:30, and it states that Jesus is speaking. He says, "I will no longer talk much with you." He's talking to the disciples. He said, "For the ruler of this world is coming." Who's the ruler of the world? Satan. He said, "And he has nothing in me." Well, let me tell you something. Because Jesus was born God, he had no father. His father was of heaven. He was the seed of God. He was put in Mary's womb and birthed through and became man, became flesh. Satan didn't have something in him. He didn't have the nature. He walked with it. He walked with flesh. But Satan didn't have. And Jesus is the only one that he can say, "Satan, the ruler of this world, has nothing in me." But I'm telling you something, brother and sister. He has something in me and in you. Something. So let's please turn to Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2. Now, we have disobeyed by choice. We have lived for ourselves, we have exalted ourselves, and gratified our souls with the things of this world. Consequently, Satan has everything in us to which he can lay hold. Our old nature is still a part of Satan's game. Our old nature is still a disobeyer, living in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh. I want to share that with you. Now, in Ephesians 2, it states, "And you, he made alive," who? Jesus made alive, "who were dead in trespasses and in sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath," or children of the devil, "just as the others," or just like the world. That's how we once walked. Now, let's turn to Galatians 5:17. Galatians 5:17, what is the flesh? Well, it says that the flesh lusts against the Spirit of God. Remember when we talked about in Genesis that there'd be enmity between the seed of the woman, the children of God, and the children, the seed of the serpent and of Satan. So the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. It's not what you wish. We must be obedient to God. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication and uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, because no flesh can inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying anyone. Now let's turn to Romans 7:14. Romans 7:14, this is Paul speaking to the Romans. He's writing a letter to them. And he's sharing with them about his problems with his flesh. And he says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." Where? In my flesh. "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I do, I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind." Of what? Of my mind. "And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." So Paul is letting us know here that there was sin, and the sin was within his flesh. flesh and was warring against. He couldn't understand the things that he was doing, and the things he knew what was right he wasn't doing, but he didn't have the power. But through his inner man, through the Holy Spirit, God was giving him power. Now I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 2. Paul speaking to the Corinthians, he says, "But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh," because our weapons are not fleshly. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of God." He speaks about every thought. So he's telling us, look at, he just told us a little bit that there's war in his flesh. And where's the war? It's in his mind. His flesh is warring against his spirit. Now, let's turn to 2 Corinthians 12. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 12:7. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And it reads, "And lest I should be exalted," this is Paul saying, "lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of revelations." Paul is getting mighty powerful revelations from God. I mean, that's why the Holy Spirit was bringing him all of these things to write. So he's getting all these wonderful revelations. He says, "And because I'm getting all these revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me." A thorn in the flesh. "A messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." Now, Paul was having such powerful revelations that he was so sensitive to the Spirit and so sensitive to the presence of God that he realized that his flesh was causing him a hindrance. I believe that Paul got the revelation that the sin in his flesh, he wanted to get rid of. I mean, he was walking with God. The Lord was giving him so many revelations, and he prayed to the Lord, "Lord, get rid of this." But he brought the understanding that this was a message from Satan. Well, Satan uses your flesh. His spirit walks freely through your flesh. Spirit of disobedience. Now he says, "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me," this is the Lord saying, "my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Now, Paul was begging the Lord, "Man, Lord, you got to get rid of this." But the Lord was trying to tell Paul, "Look, this is your flesh, and my grace is sufficient. The only way you're going to get rid of this is to die. And I need to use you while you're here." Amen? Praise God. So let's stay in 2 Corinthians, and let's go back a little bit to chapter 2, verse 11. And it says, we'll go back to 10. Chapter 2, verse 10. "Now, whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sake in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us." Now, we don't want Satan to take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Well, my brother and sister, we must learn a device. What are they? Let's turn to John 10. Well, you know, God revealed the devices immediately to us and how Satan spoke to Eve and how he deceived Adam and Eve and caused sin to dwell. This is the Gospel of John. John 10. So we know that Satan is speaking to us through our flesh, through voices. Amen? And ministering spirits, what are they? They're angels. Well, angels, the fallen angels are known as demons, and I'm going to show you that here in a minute. But it's John 10:27. John 10:27. This is Jesus speaking. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Well, they hear his voice. They understand and they know the word of God. They follow him and they follow the ways of the Lord. So he's saying, "My sheep know my voice. They also know my word." But in 1 Kings 19:12, which I want you to go to, okay, and hold your finger here in John. 1 Kings 19:12, about this voice, 1 Kings 19:12 in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 19:12. This is about David. I mean, this is about Elijah. I'm sorry. 1 Kings 19:12. Hallelujah. Now, Elijah was running from Jezebel. So he takes off, and he's trying to seek the Lord. So let's go back to 11. And he said, go out, and the Lord gets a hold of Elijah, and he says, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Now, where is that still, small voice? It's your inner man. It's the Holy Spirit who dwells within you. When you receive the Holy Spirit, when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and you ask the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, and you ask for His power, you begin to hear the voice of the shepherd, not only through the Word of God, but also the still, small voice. The still, small voice. And in verse 10:5, it says, back to John 10:5, in chapter 10, verse 5, he says that, yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Well, we're not to follow the voice of a stranger, but my friend, my brother and sister, you're either hearing the voice of the stranger, or you're hearing the voice of God. And if you're hearing self, who is self? Me, myself, and I, is Satan. It's sin. So this is a big key I want you to understand. It's called the power of suggestion. Now, what voice will you follow? In 1 Timothy 4:1, it states that in the last days, that many people will be given heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of men and demons. Why? Because these seducing spirits, like I said, are ministering spirits. They are fallen angels. These are demons. And in Hebrews 1:14, it says that angels are ministering spirits. Well, if they're ministering spirits, and if you recall that they came and ministered to Jesus, remember when we talked about Jesus being tempted by the devil? Well, if they came and spoke to Jesus, this is the angels of the Lord coming to speak to Jesus, how much more will Satan's devils come and speak to you? Because they're also angels, but they're demons, and they're also ministering spirits. Now, do you understand it? So I ask you a question. Is the devil seducing you? Is he deceiving you? You know, in Luke 22, 31 and 32, Jesus told Peter, he said, the devil wants to sift you, but I prayed for you. Well, you know, he wants to sift me and you, but we have to be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. We got to know his devices. I want to bring you to another scripture. It's in Romans. Romans 8:5. It states, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not God's. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him, God Almighty, Christ, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. So, those that are carnally minded will perish. Those that are being led by the flesh will definitely perish. Now I want us to turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, I believe it's 19. You know, Jesus talked about the Word of God being known as a seed. And he talks about when the Word of God is planted, that the devil comes and steals it. Well, obviously, that means he can take it from you. He takes it from your heart. He can read your mind. So here it says in 13:19, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom, which is the word of God, and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. What was sown in his heart? So the devil steals away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. So if we read this correctly, we understand that the devil can come and take it from us if we don't understand it. And the only way we understand it is through the Holy Spirit. He's the one that digests the Word of God. Now let's turn to Mark 7. Matthew, Mark. You've got to know the devices of the devil. There are many people out there that do not believe he lives. They're walking around trying to ignore it. There are many churches out there. People are trying to come in deliverance, possessed by devils, being led by the voice of a stranger. They're trying to get counsel, and they can't get it because they don't know the devices of the devil. Well, I'm telling you right now, you got to know the devices of the devil. Remember, we were born as children of Satan, but only through Christ Jesus, his filling of his Holy Spirit, and by his word transforming our minds, do we become children of God. Amen? Okay, Mark 7, 20. And it states, and Jesus said, what comes out of a man that defiles a man? For from within, out of our heart, or out of the heart of a man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lawlessness, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, and all these things come from within and defile a man. So that's, you're born with that. That's where he asked God, look at, deliver me, Lord. Give me a heart of flesh. So we know here that we have a Holy Spirit and we have an unholy spirit, an unholy spirit known as flesh or self. And we have a choice of what spirit influences our thoughts. Everything that you do or say appears to be your own or your own idea. But I'm telling you, my brother and sister and people of this world, it is not. It isn't. But you know what? Praise God. Because in Colossians 2:15, it states that Jesus came and disarmed the principalities and powers of darkness. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, those who are in Christ Jesus are a new creation. And old things have passed away, but behold, all things have become new. Amen. I want to share something with you and bring you a little bit more understanding. I know that the new birth equips the Christian with the new nature or a new man, just like what we said in 2 Corinthians. That part of him is under the control of the Holy Spirit. But the old nature, the old man, which remains until physical death, is under the control of Satan. The Christian is like a third party, free to choose which nature he will manifest. He does not have to serve the old nature if he doesn't want to. This is God's way of delivering Christians or believers from the power of Satan. Whichever nature the believer chooses to obey determines whether he will live for Christ or the devil. It is the struggle between the Christian's two natures that makes for spiritual growth. If you're still out trying to buy things, going to places, and getting fed by the things of the world, you know that something's not right. If you're still being fed on TV commercials, perverse things, things that you know offend God, you're feeding your flesh. And by feeding your flesh, it's carnality. You're double-minded. And those that are double-minded will perish. The Spirit of God and the Spirit of Satan have equal access to the unconscious portion of our minds. They can quicken material already on deposit or that which is newly arriving by the senses and sent into the thought life in the form of a suggestion. Man is free to respond to these suggestions or refuse them. Therefore, it is the believer's responsibility to decide whether the Holy Spirit or the unholy spirit will dominate his life. The spirit of man, or the old nature, and the spirit of Satan are identical in function. When Satan triggers an idea in the unconscious, it arrives in the thought life as a Christian's own. Since it has to do with himself, he does not suspect an outsider has anything to do with it. Satan does not plant ideas that exalt himself. No Christian or believer would worship him. In heathen lands, he can inspire devil worship, but in Christian lands, his aim is to get Christians to live for themselves rather than for Jesus. This is how he strikes back at Christ who defeated him at Calvary. Satan controls the Christian by bombarding the thought life with suggestions which appeal to self-interest. Is he doing that to you? Self is a disguise for satanic activity in a Christian's mind. The disguise is so effective. Satan is never credited with the waste and evil found in the average Christian. Satan succeeds because his ideas appeal to the believer's passions, appetites, and natural ambitions. When a man lives completely for self, he is filled with an unholy spirit. I ask you again, my friend, are you living for yourself? When he lives completely for Jesus, he is filled with the Holy Spirit. A person can study his own life pattern to determine how much of him is under satanic control. The extent to which he lives for himself is a measure of his filling of the unholy spirit. Christians have been cautioned by the Lord to watch for Satan. If a Christian can catch the devil at work by detecting satanic pressure on his weakness, he can resist him. The New Testament describes a Christian life as a warfare life. The singular strategy for meeting Satan in a conflict is our Lord's example during his wilderness testings. Now I tell you again, my brother and sister, we have to take heed of the voice of the devil. We have to know. Now I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 2:12. Are you understanding? Is the devil telling you that you're sick? Is he trying to destroy your marriages? Is he trying to tell you? I'm telling you, the devil, he's already using food to kill people. He's using everything he can. He tells you lies. You can't do this. You can't do that. He's telling you about someone. And I'm going to tell you something, that the Holy Spirit doesn't speak bad about people. If somebody's coming up to you and saying, yeah, the Holy Spirit told me that this person's this, baloney. That person has no idea of the voice of God, who's proclaiming to be a Christian, and he's heeding the voice of a devil or a familiar spirit. I'm telling you. Do you love the gossip? That's one of the greatest things the devil loves to do. He loves to talk, have you talk about somebody else. Do you live for yourself? Do you worry? I'm telling you, Satan speaks to you. He begins to tell you about your spouse. He begins to tell you about your children, that they're no good, this, that, whatever. And the things that he's telling you are lies. They're total lies. So you've got to take a self-inventory. You've got to understand the devices of the devil. What voice are you going to follow? 1 Corinthians 2:12. Hallelujah, but God has given you weapons. He is teaching you. He is showing you. And he will deliver you. 1 Corinthians 2:12. I know I can get there. Praise God. And it states, now we have received not the spirit of the world. What's the spirit of the world? The devil. But the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. No, we have not received the Spirit of the world. Now, here's something. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6. God wants you to understand the voice of the devil and how he takes heed to the things of your surroundings. Paul writes to the Corinthians, and he says to them in 2 Corinthians 6:11, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affection. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. You also be open. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Satan? Or what part is a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement is the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. He's talking about separating yourself from the lusts and the desires of this world, from drunkenness, from using drugs. Those things are a lie. I'm telling you, the devil puts things in front of you to take you away from seeking God. Mood altering. Some people are bound by athletics. Some people are bound by self. making sure that their bodies look beautiful. That's the worshiping the flesh. Now let's turn to James 4:7. James 4:7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In James 4:7, it states, therefore, submit to God. So we want to surrender to God. We want to submit to God. We seek the kingdom and of His righteousness, knowing all these things will be added unto us. We draw near to the Lord, and we know that He will draw near to us. We must seek God. You know, God has given us weapons, but first we must submit to Him. Then it says, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But I'm telling you something. You must resist the devil means not just walk away. Resist means to fight. When the United States was fighting, by resisting means they fought. So we must resist the devil. We must fight the devil. We must defend our thoughts with the Word of God. We must watch to detect what he's doing. We must have a realization of the devil and let the alarm go off. We must speak the Word of God, which is the weapon. God has given you those weapons, binding and loosening. He's given you the weapons of the anointing of Christ Jesus. When Satan has power over your flesh, and you order him away, then the Holy Spirit who dwells in your new nature has free way. Do you understand that? When suggestion is removed, replace it with the Word of God. Because in Psalms 119:9, it says that the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Acts 20:32, it says, build yourself up with the Word of God. Remember, Jesus called right to Satan. He said, Satan, get behind me. Satan, it is written. It is written. Jesus called his name, and you begin to call his name. And in the name of Jesus, Satan, take your authority. Bind him. Tell him to get lost. Use the Word of God. It is written. Well, Satan always tries to bring you back to your past. He always tries to tell you, well, do you remember this? Do you remember when you did this? How can God forgive you? Remember, he tries to bring you into you. Now, if you'll turn to Galatians 2:18, I'm going to show you something. We're not to build ourselves back in the past. We're to continue to go forward. Now, if God has delivered you from drugs and alcohol, if he's delivered you from smoking cigarettes, from the desires of this world, here Paul says in Galatians 2:18, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, well, how did he destroy it? Through the power of God. He destroyed those things that the devil was hindering him on, was causing him to go back to the world, was causing him to sin. But Paul says, if I go back to those things, I make myself a transgressor. That's as a sinner. And we don't want to go back to those things. We want to continue to go forth in God. Now I want us to go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Let's go to Chapter 4, verse 6. Verse 6 and 7. Praise God. Are you understanding? What voice are you going to take heed to? I'm telling you, you've got to understand that the devil lives, and he's using your flesh. And until that dies, we got to walk with this flesh. We got to sleep with this flesh. We got to eat with this flesh. I know it's a bummer, but that's the way it is. But God has given us the power and authority. We got to be careful of people, places, and things. We got to take a self-inventory and check our motives, why we're doing what we're doing. Now, in Philippians 4, 6 and 7, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. His peace guards our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now let's turn to Romans 8. Oh, I'm feeding you some scriptures, but I want you to know. You've got to understand this. You got to begin to take heed of the voice of the devil. When all of a sudden trouble's coming in, and you're going, wait a minute, what is this? You know, God has given us the weapon of praise and worship. Praise and worship. These are weapons that we need to begin to use. But I just want you to know that you're just the spirit in this vessel, and you're hearing voices. And you got to begin to discern the voice of God. And also the voice of the devil, because we don't want to take heed to it. Okay, Romans 8, 16 and 17. It states, for the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. So the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit telling us that we're children of God. The Holy Spirit is always speaking to us. And there's an unholy spirit that's always speaking to us through our flesh. And we must begin to discern which one it is. In Galatians 1:8, now this is important, and I want us to turn to this, because this is how all the religions got started. You know, the devil will come as an angel of light. And in Galatians 1:8 it states, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed. I want you to know. It says, as we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Let him be accursed, because an angel will come and try and preach to you. But you got to know. That's why you got to know the blood of Jesus. That's why you got to understand. That's why some of these other religions are started up by plates that have been found, and angels appear. That's how New Age is started up. I mean, some of those New Age books are just, oh, they're beautifully written. Sure, these are angels of the devil. They're intelligent. They can speak to you beautiful. They'll make everything so simple and common sense. That's New Age. If an angel's appeared to them, well, why do you want to speak to angels? Why do you want to, you know, if you recall, if you check the Word of God out, in Revelation, when an angel appeared to John, John bowed down to worship the angel. The angel said, man, get up. I'm a servant just like you. We're not to worship angels. We're not to pray to angels. We're not to pray to saints. We're to pray to God our Father in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. When you begin to pray to anyone else, you're offending God. It's a sin. We're to study the Word in 2 Timothy 2:15. We're to study the Word to show ourselves approved. Approved by who? Approved by God. Remember, God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. It's a lack of knowledge of Him. Man, Jesus Christ came to this earth to rescue you and me. He's here. He said, I didn't come here to bring you peace. I came here to bring you a sword. He said, I came here to bring you life and life more abundantly. Well, the sword is known as the Word of God. And you obtain life abundantly by healings, by deliverance, by the infilling of the Holy Spirit, by power to say no to the devil and temptations and say yes to your Heavenly Father, by the Word of God, by the truth. It's the truth. It's the understanding that sets you free. Now let's turn to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, please. Glory to God. Are you understanding? We must take heed of the voice of the devil. And we must take heed of the voice of the Spirit of God. Because He wants to reveal Himself to you. He wants to lead you. In first chapter, starting at verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will, God's will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partners or partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him, for Him. And my brother and sister, you were created for Him. You are a child of God. God has given you authority over the powers of darkness. So Lord, right now, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would give every one of these listeners strength to their inner man, sensitivity and clarity to the voice of God, a thirst and hunger to know you in a greater way. As I apply the blood of Jesus upon the seed that has been planted here, but guide him and protect them. Build their families, build their temple, build their house, that you would be glorified in their walk. My brother and sister, I ask this all in the name of Jesus. I love you. May God bless you, and His countenance and love and glory shine upon you all of your days. Take heed of the voice of God and recognize the voice of the stranger. Be led by the Spirit. That way, your fruit will bring glory to your Father in heaven. God bless and take care.